A recent YouGov poll suggested that as many as 60% of voters think he's not up to the job of being Prime Minister. Ed Miliband, in his second day in Scotland, has already acknowledged he has a tough fight ahead, but he'd said he was relishing the battle. In a speech yesterday in Edinburgh, Mr Miliband appealed to people here to be part of his mission to change the United Kingdom by, he said, making a more equal and fairer society. On the independence referendum, he said voters faced a genuine question in the next 12 weeks.
How can you best put your traditions of equality and social justice, which are so dear and important to the people of Scotland, into practice? Is it, on the one hand, in an independent Scotland, apart from the rest of the UK, or on the other, at the heart of a movement that goes beyond the border and changes all of Britain?
Blair Jenkins, the chief executive of Yes Scotland, said that Ed Miliband could not guarantee change.
I think what people in Scotland will reflect on is the fact that where we've ended up with this highly unequal, highly unfair society is as much the product of the years of new Labour governments as it is of the years of Conservative government. So I think people will be very properly sceptical on two things. Can a Labour Party win the next UK election, which is looking doubtful, and would it make any difference? Both things I think people will really doubt.
Well, joining us now, the Labour MP Ian Murray, who is Labour's Shadow Business Minister, and Dennis Canavan, the Chair of Yes Scotland and a former Labour MP and Independent MSP. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Ian Murray, is Ed Miliband a winner?
Well, I'm just surprised that this morning we decide we want to talk about Ed Miliband as an individual rather than the case that he set out yesterday, the rather compelling case he set out yesterday for a more progressive Scotland. But if politics is now about the perception of what you look like and sound like rather than what you say, then it's little wonder that the public have such low expectations of both politics and the media. He set out a really good case for a 50p tax rate, energy price freeze, the banning of exploitative zero-hours contracts, and really dealing with the heart of inequality in our society. But it seems to me that the media want to talk about what he looks like and what he sounds like, and I think it's quite ridiculous.
Well, if you have such a persuasive message, why is he being so inept at putting it across?
Well, I think there is such a persuasive message.
Yes, but why then is it not reflecting in the polls and his personal support?
Well, I think it's because we're talking about the person rather than talking about what he's actually saying. Ed is a compelling character. He's been ahead in the polls for the Labour Party across the United Kingdom consistently for over 2 years now. We're 10 months away from a general election. He came to Scotland yesterday and today to say to the Scottish people, why don't you join us as you always have done over the last 300 years in creating a more progressive society by joining Labour in our fight to deal with inequality and have a more progressive case. And that was his compelling case yesterday. And I think if we look at the content of what he said, it's a very compelling case that most Scots would appeal to.
We'll do that in a moment, Mr. Murray. But just to focus in on this, you say you're ahead on the polls. You'd have to be very much further ahead in the polls at this stage to sustain that lead and actually get you over the door at number 10. You'd have to be very much further than the lead you have now. So, again, if you have a good message, but you can't sell it to the voters, don't you have to think about changing the messenger?
Well, we're ahead in the polls and you're speculating about whether or not we should be further ahead. We are ahead.
Well, you know you should be further ahead. You know from previous elections at this stage you need to be much further ahead than you are now. Well, all the other election results would show that.
I think Ed is leading the charge. If you look at what he did with the Leveson inquiry, he led that charge. He's leading the charge on the energy price fees. The first time a opposition leader of any party has made a conference speech last September and we're still talking about the policies. He wants to bring a more progressive tax system in. He's already said that politics in this country is broken and wants to change that. He wants to devolve more power to Scotland and to the regions of England. So there's a real, real case here for a more progressive case.
Okay,
doorsteps every single day of the week.
Even if we take your argument that it's frustrating for you that the message isn't getting across and you don't want people to concentrate on Ed Miliband, given a satisfaction rating lower than Nick Clegg's, minus 39, at what point do you have to say, however unfair you may think it is to Ed Miliband, that actually this isn't going to work?
Well, that's not what people are saying to me on the doorsteps. People are actually saying to me there's a cost of living crisis and they want the Labour Party to be doing something about it, and they're pleased that the Labour Party has policies to do so. I mean, it'd be interesting to ask Dennis Canavan if he agrees with a 50p tax rate, an energy price freeze and the banning of exploitative zero-hours contracts.
If you have a responsibility then to your voters, to the wider electorate, at what point do you say, actually, our personal responsibility to get through a programme we want to get through and have a realistic chance of winning the next Westminster election means we have to ditch Ed Miliband. Are you going to cling on to Ed Miliband, whatever the polls say?
Well, Ed Miliband will take the Labour Party into the next general election. It's right that he does. He's the leader of our party. He was democratically elected to be leader of our party. And I think when the public actually listen to what he's saying rather than this media merry-go-round of what he looks like and what he sounds like, we might be in a much better position.
Dennis Kahneman, is that fair that, whatever you may say about how he's appearing in the polls, anybody who knows Ed Miliband says personally he is a decent and intelligent man and in fact has far better qualities than attached to many people who've been in that position before. And actually, all this sound and fury is not what it should be about.
Well, I partially agree with Ian in that we should not just personalise this on Ed Miliband. We shouldn't heap all the blame on poor Ed Miliband for the plight in which Labour finds itself, because the truth of the matter is the Labour Party has lost the plot. It has lost its soul. The Labour Party used to spend a lot of time and energy defending the working class. Now Labour leaders seem to be spending more time and more energy defending a discredited United Kingdom. But the United Kingdom is not working. We are the fourth most unequal society in the developed world. One in five of our children are suffering from poverty. 7,000, over 7,000, in fact, in Scotland alone, are dependent upon food banks. And Ed Miliband's solution is to spend over £100 billion on replacing the Trident nuclear weapon and continuing the benefit cap, which was imposed by the present Tory-led coalition.
So Dennis, do you not agree with the 50p tax rate, banning exploitative zeros contracts, dealing with an energy price freeze?
Of course I do, and I agree with Joanne Lamont said, that when Scotland becomes independent, these could form parts of a good Labour Party manifesto to win the 2016 general election. But the truth of the matter is...
Or we could have a corporation tax cut for big businesses as the first act of a Scottish government.
I'm not an enthusiastic cutter of corporation tax, but I seem to remember that the last Labour government reduced the corporation tax on the grounds that it would regenerate the economy and help to provide more jobs. But these particular policy matters are matters which could be included in a good, independent Scottish Labour Party manifesto for the 2016 general election. The truth of the matter is that Ed Miliband cannot deliver.
Right.
Some of his own leading members, in fact, see that he's not up to the job. And over the last 35 years, Labour has been in power for only 13 of these 35 years, despite the fact that Scotland has produced a majority of Labour MPs over these 35 years.
So Dennis Canavan does like our policies, but is supporting a party which wants a massive tax cut.
I'm not a supporter of the Scottish National Party.
Okay,
I never have been a member of the Scottish National Party.
If somebody else was leading Labour, would that make a difference?
If someone else was leading Labour, would that make a difference? Well, that remains to be seen. It wouldn't make a difference, I don't think, on the constitutional question, because I think that that is a question which any Labour leader, especially in Scotland, ought to grasp. And the truth of the matter is that when Labour was in power in Westminster, as Blair Jenkins pointed out, I mean, what did they do? The gap between rich and poor got wider. You even cut the benefits for the children of lone parents. You weren't there at the time, Ian. Maybe you don't remember, but I was there, and I was disciplined because I voted against the Labour government when they cut the benefits of the children of lone parents, when they introduced university tuition fees and they abolished student grants, even for students from low-income families. That was a legacy of New Labour, and New Labour is still suffering because New Labour sold its soul to win votes in Middle England, and New Labour will never, ever recover. And the only way that the Scottish Labour Party will recover is by getting independence and responding directly to the people of Scotland instead of kowtowing to the bosses down at Westminster.
Well, Dennis, it's just all rhetoric, because I'm not going to sit here and apologise for the national minimum wage, the biggest investment in public services that we had ever seen in this country. in all the wonderful progressive politics of the last 30 years.
Yeah, it's dragging the country into an illegal and immoral war.
Dennis Canavan, we really should let Ian Murray answer this, and then we'll return.
Utterly transformed this country over 13 years up until the global financial crash. We took 66% of pensioners out of poverty with the pensioners' tax credit. Working tax credit meant that work paid again and got people back to work. There was transformations in the health service and the education system in this country after what was collected in 1997 after the 18 years of Tory government, a Tory government incidentally the SNP brought in by failing to vote in 1979. So we can argue all day about the policies of the past, Dennis, but you know fine well that what Ed said yesterday was a very much a progressive case for the United Kingdom. You don't want to support that.
You are defending the past. Ed Miliband defends the past, and the past, a part of Labour's legacy, was spending billions of pounds and allowing George Bush to drag us into an immoral and illegal war in Iraq.
Dennis Cameron, let me ask you about the core Labour vote in Scotland and where it might go in the referendum vote. Do you think there is anger in the ranks of the core Labour vote in Scotland, which we saw transferred into an SNP vote in the last Holyrood election? Do you think that is the vote that is in play now in the referendum, and where do you think it's going to go?
Well, I think that the Labour Party is in fact running scared because, yes, Scotland campaign, we are persuading more and more people, more and more traditional Labour voters to vote yes, and the reason is quite obvious, because we have had on our agenda right from the very start a higher priority for social justice, fairness and equality, and now Ed Miliband and company are trying desperately to catch up. But the fact of the matter is that most Labour voters now realise that it's very difficult for the Labour Party at Westminster to deliver. It's very difficult for them even to win a general election. And when they do win a general election, they invariably let people down. And that is why people want higher standards of social justice. They look at the Scottish Parliament and they see what we've done in the 15 years of existence in the Scottish Parliament, albeit with limited powers. We've got a free National Health Service, which is still the property of the people. We have a free higher education system. We have a better system of care for the elderly. These are all higher standards of social justice, evidence for that, even with limited powers. And I see if the Scottish Parliament had the full powers of an independent parliament, we'd be able to do so much more.
Does that not show you that devolution works? I mean, that's the key here, isn't it? You talk about free elderly care, which was a Labour policy, incidentally. Yeah. That shows you that not only devolution works, but devolution is the settled will of the Scottish people. That takes us forward quite substantially.
I'm pleased to hear that you admit that the Scottish Parliament has done good, Ian, but the Scottish Parliament could do so much more if we had the full powers of an independent Parliament.
So
for example, defence and foreign affairs, we'd be able to get rid of Trident.
So why did
we had
the
powers over tax and national insurance, we'd be able to have a more progressive system of tax and get rid of the unfair system of benefits, and your benefit cap are continuing.
So why did the
it took you over a year to come out with a commitment to abolish the bedroom tax, it would never have seen the light of day an independent Parliament.
I have to say, Dennis, I mean, I think you're rewriting history here and rewriting the future go, because actual fact, it took the Scottish Parliament 14 months to do something about the bedroom tax, and the Scottish Parliament chose not to implement the living wage only a few weeks ago.
You voted for the bedroom tax. You and your party voted for the bedroom tax, and you're also voting for the cap on benefits, which is going to cause a lot of misery to many working people and their families. The Labour Party has sold the working class short. Right. They have sold Scotland short. The sooner we get an independent parliament in Scotland, the better. And the Scottish Labour Party will become an independent Scottish Labour Party, which will respond to the needs, the wishes, the aspirations and the values of the people of Scotland.
You must answer this. And also, Eamonn, do you know, though, when you are in Scotland, do you have a sense of the traditional Labour vote here, the core Labour vote, being angry and disappointed about some of the policies you have pursued and supported in Westminster? Do you have a sense of that?
Well, I knock on, unlike Dennis, I've knocked on 4,000 doors in the last few
weeks. I've knocked on more doors than you've had hot dinners.
In my constituency over the last few weeks, and Labour supporters are very much keen on hearing what we've got to say about the progressive case that Ed set out yesterday in terms of a 50p tax rate, in terms of doing something about the rip-off energy companies, and in terms of looking at inequality and low pay, which is a blight in this country. They haven't yet raised with me any of the other issues. And incidentally, part of our pillars of taking forward a more progressive society is dealing with the issue of welfare in terms of making sure we can build more affordable houses to get the housing benefit bill down so people can live better in cheaper accommodation and build more houses to get people back to work and to get people paid properly. If you take those three pillars into account, you don't need a benefits cap because the benefit bill comes down because people are able to stand on right. their own two feet with proper pay, proper housing and proper wages.
But do you accept sometimes, Emer, that the message is mixed when you talk about all the potential benefits, jobs for the young, higher minimum wage, end to abuse of zero-hour contracts, fairer taxes, energy bills frozen, the banks working for people again. You talk about all those things, but against them you have to weigh your voting record on some of the welfare reform and also Ed Miliband's statement that 18 to 21-year-olds will only get job seekers allowance if they already have the skills to get a job. There's a sense of a mixed message coming out here. Do you accept that, Ian?
Well, Isabel, you're just buying into Dennis's rewriting of history in terms of voting
no,
record.
Not.
We voted against the bedroom tax consistently. We've said we'll be the first act of a Labour government in 2015 will be to scrap it. So I don't know why you keep talking about our voting record because Dennis has just mentioned it. That's the facts of the matter. So I've never ever voted to put the bedroom tax through. In fact, I've consistently voted every single time to go down the lobby to get rid of this vile and pernicious tax. So I've also been campaigning on the streets day in, day out for months and months and months and years to get rid of the bedroom tax. I'm not quite sure where all that's coming from, but it suits the case of Yes Scotland to portray it in that particular fashion.
Ian, will you be voting to cut the benefits of young unemployed people, which Mr Miliband is intent on doing?
The key task, Dennis, and you know this is the key task, and I wish you would admit it, is to get the opportunities to get young people back into work or back into training.
By cutting the benefits.
We cannot write off a generation that we did before. We need to provide those opportunities. We need to get people into high-skilled jobs, or we need to get people into proper training, because we have a dearth at the moment of young people in employment or training, and it's a national disgrace.
Mm. Can I remind you, Ian, about the bedroom tax? It was a Labour government that actually introduced the bedroom tax in the private sector. That is a fact. That is not mythology. That is not rewriting history. It was a Labour government that introduced the bedroom tax in the private sector, and all that the Tory government are doing is extending that into the public sector. I welcome your commitment to abolish, a very belated commitment to abolish the bedroom tax, but it would never
it's
have seen the light of day in an independent Scotland. That is the fact of the matter. And you know, changing the tendency of 10 Downing Street is not going to bring about the radical fundamental change which the majority of the people of Scotland want to see. That can only come through independence.
Cutting corporation tax for the biggest companies in Scotland will do nothing to help inequality.
We have to leave it there. Ian Murray, Dennis Canavan, thank you both very much indeed.